obviously can be.
Don't decide totally on my decision.
I don't know, Harvey, Mitch, if you guys are around on Wednesday, let me know. Okay, we're on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph still, and I told you I still need a little bit more time on the sugya of Yesh Dichui Eitzel Mitzvos Olo. And I want to again call your attention to Rashi, five lines before the end of Amud Aleph. Now, this Rashi, Dibra Maskil, Uman de Machsher Sovar. You have that Rashi? So I'm deliberately starting with that Rashi because I think Rashi gives us an insight as to what the difference is between Dichui b'Karbonos and Dichui b'Mitzvahs. Rashi says, Ein Dichui l'inyan Mitzvah, el l'inyan Kedusha, Kigon Karbonos. So I learned from this Rashi two Chidushim. Chidush number one, which I wasn't aware of, is that the reason why karbonos are different than mitzvos is because whereas a heftesh al mitzvah has no kedusha to it, a karbon does. And I think what Rashi is implying here is simply that dichui, in the case of karbonos, involves what I would call a chil kedusha. There's some sort of desecration of the kedusha. In other words, when the karbon becomes pasul, it's because the kedusha is reduced, is deficient. And that pegima in the kedusha of the karbon is irreversible. In the case of mitzvahs, there's no kedusha, and therefore, even though it's possible, it could become kosher again, it's reversible. That would be the smart to say, ein dichli el etzel mitzvahs. If not for this Rashi, and I think this is the way we wanted to go last week, you could say that the difference between karbonos and mitzvahs is very simple. In the case of karbonos, when the karbon becomes possible, there's an isur. The Heftah becomes also the Mizbeach. You're not allowed to bring it on the Mizbeach. It's not just that if you do so, you miss out on your fulfillment of the mitzvah. It's more than that. You violate an Isur. Psuliyah Mukdashim are also the Mizbeach. In the case of Isur, once the Isur is Chal, it's irreversible. The Mizbeach cries out, this is Asur. You can't now change the status of Isur, like we discussed in case of Trefus and Basu B'chol. You can't reverse the Isur, even if you remove the original cause of the Isur. Mashenkein and mitzvahs, there's no Isur to take a Heftza Shel Psul. You know, you took a Hadas that was Niktam Rosho. Okay, you forfeit the mitzvah, but you didn't violate an Isur. Okay, that's just as a by way of introduction, just to get us into the mood. Now what I want to call your attention to is Rashi Dibra Maskel the also Botamra. This is about 9 lines down or so from the top of the page. So let's just remember that Rabbi Yirmiyah's question was, what happens to a case of Niktam Rosho? And that took place on Erev Yontif. And on Yontif itself, it grew a Tamra, grew back its head. So Rashi says, the also Botamra b'Yontif Mishenegat. So please emphasize that word Mishenegat. Rashi clearly points to the fact that if this Rabbi Yirmiyah, if this Suffolk Rabbi Yirmiyah hinges on whether Yesh Dichui Eitzel Mitzvahs or Ein Dichui Eitzel Mitzvahs, then we have to talk about Mishenegat. But wait a minute, something should bother us. The concept of Mishenegat makes sense according to whom? Rabbi Yehuda. Is there any indication here that Rabbi Yirmiyah's original suffix was within the context of Rabbi Yehuda? Meaning, if Rashi would have spelled it out and said like this, Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda Mishenegat, Aliba de Chachamim, Afil below Negat, but also Botamra B'Yantiv, so we entered into Yantiv, it was Pasul, now also Botamra, we removed the Sibas Hapsul, and now it should go closer, it should go back to its original state. Now Rashi doesn't give us a whole long spiel here, he just gives us one word. And if you'll fast forward now to Rashi, 5 lines up from the bottom of the page, Uman, I'm sorry, 10 lines up from the bottom of the page, Rashi says, Lulav Misukka Lo Yolif. Rashi says that even though we pass on like Chachamim, that Lulav ain't Tzarech Agad, correct? He says, Ve'i Lo Tzarech Agad, then nevertheless, it took place on Yontif, because we need Kiddush Hayom. Do you see that? He loved the Kaddish Hayom. So Rashi here seems to assume that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if I hold Lulav Tzarech Eged, then the Eged took place on Erev Yontif, and we could already apply the principle of Dichui. If you go on the contrary, like the Chachamim, then you need not only Eged, but you also need Kiddush Hayom. And as Rashi seems to add another condition here, according to the Chachamim, but he never drops the Eged requirement in order to make it into a Chefetz Shalulav. And furthermore, if you ask me where Rashi got this from, if you turn to Amid Beis for a moment, and you go down about 8-9 lines down from the top of the page, you see the two dots in Miatan Kosher. The Gemara here analyzes the Mishnah, and the Gemara asks, Miatan Emas, when was this mute, and yet the Hadas is Kosher? When did I remove these Anovim, these berries, and I was Machshir the Hadas? And the Gemara says, Ilema Mekami Deliagde, if he removed the Anovim before he did the Eged, is Pshita. There's nothing to talk about. Of course it's Kosher. I mean, the Mishnah doesn't have to tell me that Chiddush. I mean, it was problematic as long as it had this abundance of berries, but now that I removed the berries, and I did so before Yontif, so what's the problem? Entering into Yontif, I have a lulav kosher. Ella lebasar diagde, it must be after he did the eged, and if he plucked off the berries after he did the eged, okay, then the Gemara operates with the assumption that I could activate dichui with regard to this hadas that has so many anovim. Once what took place? Eged. Now, is the Gemara going according to Yehuda? The Gemara Stama is going even according to Chachamim, and yet the Gemara says that the din of dichui depends upon eged. I mean, this whole premise here of the Gemara, which I think is reflected in both Rashi at the beginning of the sugya and Rashi towards the end of the daf, is a pella to me, because the Gemara says that according to the Chachamim, the reason why we need Eged is because of Zeh Keli V'Anveil. It's a Hidur mitzvah to add the Eged. So therefore what? Therefore the Eged should be in some way the critical moment of engendering the Chefetz Shel Mitzvah becomes the Chefetz Shel Mitzvah with Eged, according to Rabbi Yehuda Nicha. Lulav Tzarech Eged. Eged is integral and essential to the lulav, but according to Chacham, it's only Zeh Keli V'Anveil. You want to beautify the lulav? Wonderful. You don't want to beautify it? Don't beautify it. And therefore, now with the Eged, it becomes a Chefetz Shel Mitzvah. So Rabbosa, I think you see from this sugya something very sensational. That even according to Chachamim, Eged, although it's required because of Zeh Keli V'Aveyu, is something much more substantial and essential to the lulav than we think it is. It's not just some sort of din of noi, you know, to beautify the lulav, but even according to Chacham, although it's not ma'akev, it's not an absolute requirement, indispensable, nevertheless, it defines the lulav itself as a Chefetz Shel Mitzvah. With the Eged, it becomes a Chefetz Shel Mitzvah. When Rashi adds another condition, it, according to the Chachamim, it can only become a Chefetz Shel Mitzvah with Eged plus what? Kiddush Hayom, we need Yontif itself. According to Rabbi Yehuda, even the Eged, Rashi says, without Yontif, is already a Chefetz Shel Mitzvah, we apply the Din of Dichui. According to the Rabbanan, even though I don't need the Eged, and the mitzvah is kosher even without the Eged, nevertheless, when I do the Eged, it sets up a Chefetz Shel Mitzvah, which now is clinched with Kiddush Hayom, when Yontif enters. And I think that this... What do you say?
Yontif begins.
Begins, okay. Enters, I guess, is more of an American term.
Yeah.
But both say I'm on a roll here, because I really think this is unbelievable. This has tremendous repercussions. What Yemich?
Converse be true. If you didn't do Eged, you don't have a lulav.
No, I would say the following: that according to the Chachamim, if you didn't have an Eged, then the Tila itself, I think, would clinch the Chal Shem lulav when you took it itself. But the Chiddush here is that even before I take the lulav, once I have the Eged and it was Kiddush Hayom and Yontif, what word do you use? not enter, but
begins.
Okay, good. Let me get the English word. When Yotu begins, that itself would make it into a Heftah Shel Mitzvah, and we would apply the principle of Eged. So I'm thinking out loud here, Rabosai. This could have a tremendous nafkamin. For example, let's say I have to tie Eged for my 3 minim, and I remove those minim from the Eged. Can I just insert the 3 minim into the Eged? Or do I have to take apart the Eged and tie it up again together? If I hold that lulav tzarech Eged, so the Gemara applies the principle of tase veloman asui, which means I can't just put it back into the Eged. I've got to take apart the Eged and put it together again. Well, what about according to the Chachamim? We pass the lulav ain't tzarech Eged. But if we're saying now that even though Eged, according to Chacham, is required because of Zekelim Yambeyu, nevertheless, it sets up the Heftah Shel Mitzvah, then you could even postulate that according to the Chachamim, when you do the Eged, you're setting up the Heftah Shel Mitzvah. And therefore you can't do it in a way that it becomes set up automatically. You've got to do the Eged in which you tie the three minim together as one and bind it together. The Gemara tells us on Daf Mem Vav that the moment you make Eged, even according to Chachamim, you recite a bracha. That's a pella. According to the Rabbana, according to the Rabbi Yehuda Nicha, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that what love tzarech Eged. So it makes sense that Eged is part of creating the Heftah Shel Mitzvah. If I make a bracha of Shechiyonu, but according to Chachamim, we say lulav ain't tzarech Eged. Why would I make a Shechiyonu when I do the Eged? But once again, if Rashi is right that creating the Heftah Shel Mitzvah, even according to the Rabbanan, requires two conditions. Number one, Eged. And number two, Kiddush Hayom. The Eged itself is an absolute requirement here. Again, as Mitch said, I shouldn't say the word absolute because you're right. The Tilas Lulav even without the Eged. But with the Eged, in and of itself, independently create a Heftah Shel Mitzvah. And that's when Dihui sets in. Then I can make a Brach of Shechiyonu on the Eged, even according to the Chacham. But the Pella is, how could Zekeli V'Anveyu impact on the Heftah Shel Mitzvah? So here I have a famous sugya, I don't know if you're familiar with it, called Tzitzin She'enem Akvinus Amila. You know, when the Mohel cuts the Mila, so there's certain parts of the Arla that he absolutely must cut. That's a requirement, and that's the Ikar Mitzvah. There are other parts of the Arla which are called Tzitzin She'enem Akvinus Amila. And the law is that he should cut those two, because that's part of the Arla, but it's Mishum Zekeli V'Anvei. Now the Sugyan Shabbos in Perikah Blessed the Mila wants to know what happens if Mila is on the eighth day is on Shabbos, and now you're cutting Mila on Shabbos, because Mila on Shabbos is okay. What about the Tzitzin She'enem Akvinus Amila? Is he allowed to cut that on Yom Tov? That's only Zekeli V'Anvei. And the Gemara says in low pirish is Yadav. As long as he's still cutting, he hasn't yet removed the knife from the Arla, then he should violate the Shabbos, even if it's Tzitzin She'enem Akvinus Amila, which are cut because of Zekeli V'Anveyu. Rabosai, how can Zekeli V'Anveyu override the Shabbos? What do you see from this about Zekeli V'Anveyu? At least in some occasions, it's part of the mitzvah itself. It defines the mitzvah. And therefore it's Doka Shabbos. The same thing applies to Eged, even though Eged according to Chachamim is only what? Zekeli V'Anveyu. Nevertheless, it defines the mitzvah. And if that be the case, then we understand very well that Rashi Shita and the Mordechai and others, that what kind of kesher do you require in Eged? Rashi says later on, Daflam and Gimel Amid Beis, the Yamaskal Pligi, that you need a kesher shell, Kayama. Ribbono Shel Olam. For Zekeli V'Anveyu, I need kesher shell, Kayama. Once again, Bishlam, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Lulav Tzarech Eged, there's a Chal Shem Eged in Lulav, as part and parcel of the Lulav, it's integral, it's essential. I understand you need a Kesher Shel Kayom. But Vosefus, why do I assume that according to the Rabbanon, who hold Lulav Ein Tzarech Eged, I need a Kesher Shel Kayom? That's out in outer space. But the answer is that since even according to Chachamim, although I don't absolutely require a kesher, but once I do the kesher, it becomes essential and integral to the mitzvah. So that's called a kesher shel kayom. Basically, what we're saying is, Rabosai, that agad, according to the Chachamim, is a chalushem. It's a halachic entity. It's not some sort of beautification of the mitzvah. You know, we're not just painting up the lulav or tying ribbons on the lulav. We are doing something essential that establishes the Chefetz Shel mitzvah. And I would like to know the following. Would there be a din of Bal Tosif if I add a fifth min outside the eged? Do you remember we discussed this in the past? I'd love to see this in the Rambam. I don't have the Rambam here, but I believe that there are Rishonim who say that if you add a fifth min outside the Eged, you don't violate Bal Tosif. Now that would only make sense if the Eged defines the Chefetz Shel Mitzvah. If Eged is just Zekei Yaveyu, then from the perspective of Bal Tosif, it's Kiman the Lesser Domi. It doesn't exist. You took five minim in one Netila. There's no way of separating and alienating the fifth min from the other four. It's integrated into one whole. It's a violation of Bal Tosif. But if I say that even the Chacham Hol Lulutzach Eged defines the Chefetz Shel Mitzvah, then I can at least entertain the possibility. It doesn't have to be so a priori. But maybe the fifth min is external to the other four minim because it's outside the Eged. And I believe there is Rishonim who say so. I didn't get a chance to research it.
Could this tie in the problem you had right at the beginning of the paper, where Rashi said that the bits of Hiddur and Lulav were based on Zekid Van Deyu? We had the whole problem with that, right?
Right, and Tosi says, where do we find that Zekid Van Deyu is Likuva? So Rashi says, Lulav HaYavesh is possible. Not because of the hekesh between lulav and esrog, which says hadar, but because Zekid Van Deyu, Tosi says, Zekid Van Deyu ain't el l'chatchila. Rashi is going even further than what we're saying today. We're saying that Eged as a Zekeli Aveyu defines the Chefetz Shel Mitzvah, but it's not Likuva. Rashi says that Zekeli Aveyu with Lulav Hayavish defines the Mitzvah, and it's even Likuva. But you see that Zekeli Aveyu is more than just meets the eye. It's not just beautifying the Mitzvah. Zekeli Aveyu in certain situations is integral to the Mitzvah itself. Speak a little louder, David. I'm sorry. It would be if, let's say, you didn't do Eged, and are you Yotze the Mitzvah? According to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not Yotze the Mitzvah without Eged. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda says that not only does Eged define the Chefetz Shel Mitzvah, but it's a psul if it's absent. The Chachamim are not willing to go that far. They're willing to accept one premise of Rabbi Yehuda, namely that Eged defines the Chefetz Shel Mitzvah. They're not willing to go a step further and say that therefore it's likuva and without it, you're not yotze the mitzvah. They're not willing to accept or view this premise that eged is indispensable. No, you can dispense with it. But once you have it, it becomes essential to the mitzvah. It defines the mitzvah. It's not necessary, but once it's in effect, it takes over the whole personality of the lulav. And let's just summarize again our nafkaminas. I made a list of this myself before the shiur. I was busy today. I forgot to say that this shiur is dedicated to L'ilui Nishmas, Anshel Ben Yaakov, Avram Yaakov, and L'ilui Nishmas, Sima Brina Bas Rav Elchanan. Okay, so we have a number of yard sites today. It seems like the 8th of Av is heavy in yard sites. But because I was busy in and out of the cemetery this morning, I didn't get a chance to finish the preparation on time. But here's what I have. Again, the first nafkamina, which is the most important nafkamina for us, is dichui. Rashi says that dichui, even according to the Chachamim, will be chal at the moment that you have the combination of A plus B. A is Eged, and B is Kiddush Hayom. So you see that Eged is Koveya, the Chefetz Shel Mitzvah. Again, it's not a Chefetz Shel Mitzvah until Kiddush Hayom, according to the Rabbanon, but nevertheless, it is essential to the Chefetz Shel Mitzvah. We said that Rashi derives that from the Gemara and Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. And the nafkaminas are the following. Number one, Rashi holds that sometimes Zekeli V'Aveyu becomes part of the mitzvah itself, like in the case of Tzitzin She'enem Akvin Asamila, here too in the case of Eged, according to the Rabbanan, even though it's Zekeh Leviyaveyu. Number two, we said that Rashi later on says that Eged requires a Kesher Shal Kayama, even according to Chachamim, and it wouldn't be just Noi to beautify it. Number three, the Gemara says later on that you make a bracha at the time of Eged, Shechiyonu v'kimonu, even according to the Rabbanon. It must be that Eged is a chaloshem cheftah shel mitzvah. We suggest the possibility that if you remove the minim from the Eged, you might have to tie the Eged again. You can't just replace the minim back into the Kesher, because the Kesher itself, the Eged itself, becomes a creation of a cheftah shel mitzvah, and it has to be done actively.
What about tassim v'nodin asoyim? We don't hold by that. Why should that be a requirement according to Rabbanon?
Could be that even according to Rabbanon, tassim v'nodin should apply to lulav, because the Rabbanon holds lulav ain't tzarich agad, but agad defines the cheftah shel mitzvah.
I thought we said lo yafin and.
Right, so you got to go through the Gemara and see all the different possibilities. But I'm just saying, in theory, one might want to be machmir to take the minim out and then retie them together in order to get eged. And finally, the last nafkamini would be legabi bal tosif. What would be if I added a fifth min outside the eged? Okay. Now I want to ask you the following question. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the lulav of tzarech eged, and it's even before Kiddush Hayom, Rashi says on the bottom. So I don't get it. It's Tu Bishvat, and on Tu Bishvat I tie together my three min. Does that mean that it's dochli at that point? It's a cheftah shel mitzvah on Chanukah. See, Rashi doesn't tell us how samuch, how close to yontif it would have to be, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And in my mind, there are various possibilities. One possibility would be Erev Yontif. Like, for example, the Gemara says about Bedikas Chametz, that it doesn't make sense to start your Bedikas Chametz on the night of the 14th because it's too far removed from Yontif. What would be, as far as Eged is concerned, according to Rabbi Yehuda, again, according to Rabbanan, this is not a question, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rashi says that the psul of Dichui is chal with Eged, because that creates the Cheftah shel mitzvah. How far, how long before Yontif could that be? So on the sugya, in the sugya daf tes, Beis Shammai are of the opinion that when you build a sukkah, you need kavana l'shem sukkah. Now, it's not enough to put the schach down for shade. You have to put it down for the sake of mitzvah. So the Gemara says the following, that according to Beit Shammai, if he puts down the schach during the course of the year on the defanus, according to Beit Shammai, he must have kavana actively. But if he puts down the schach shloshim yom kodem lechag, within the 30-day period before Sukkot, then he doesn't need kavanah, even according to Beit Shammai. Because since he's already close enough to Yontif, the schach itself is related to the sukkah. So could we say something similar with regard to Eged? That according to Rabbi Yehuda Nachinami, you could create a chaloshim Eged and a chal shem lulav on Chanukah or on Purim or on Tu Bishvat, but b'tnai that you have kavanah, that when he ties it, he's tying it for the purpose of sukkahs. But it could be that within 30 days kodem lechag, when the atmosphere of lechag permeates the air, then maybe Rabbi Yehuda would not require kavanah in order to create a cheftah shel lulav. The agad itself would create the cheftah shel lulav. I don't know. It's very unclear to me exactly how proximate to Yontif you would have to do the Eged in order to create a Cheftah shel mitzvah. Then let me ask you another question. There's halacha that hadas asur lariach bo. That's called huktzah l'mitzvos, meaning you're not allowed to smell a hadas or an esrog, correct? That's called huktzah l'mitzvos. It's dedicated for its mitzvah. No. So at what point does this Isur of Asula Riach Bo Badas take effect? One could argue just logically, and don't vitishkach, I mean, forget about what I'm about to say, but just logically, one could say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, until the point of Eged, when you tie the hadas to the other minim, there's no iser lariach ba. So that even if you designated this hadas for the mitzvah of dalad minim, which is called huktzel mitzvah, so it's not aser bereach because it's not a cheftishol mitzvah. We need the eged to make it into a cheftishol mitzvah. And now, in light of what we're saying according to the Rabbanon, that eged or netila creates and engenders the cheftishol mitzvah, maybe there should be no din of huktzel mitzvah so until after eged, even according to the Rabbanon. But that's not so. We know that the law of huktzel mitzvah so applies as soon as you designate an object for a mitzvah. It's asal ariyah. Pilei plan. Everything that we're saying today is antithetical, is completely undermined by the halach of huktzel mitzvah. So huktzel mitzvah so should apply to cheftishol mitzvah. The cheftishol mitzvah requires eged. According to the Rabbi Yehuda, Milsa the Pshita requires Eged. According to Rabbanon, perhaps it requires Eged as well. I mean, but there's no din of Huktzel Mitzvasa, but there's no din that Huktzel Mitzvasa depends upon Eged, that we have to wait until after Eged. You know, in Brisk we say Tzvei Dinim. Are you familiar with that? This is a case of Tzvei Dinim. We have one din of Cheftishol Mitzvah as far as, let's say, Dichri is concerned. We have another din of a Chefta Le'inyan Huktzel Mitzvaso. And Huktzel Mitzvaso doesn't depend upon the status of Cheftishol Mitzvah. I haven't yet done the Eged, but I designated for the Mitzvah. That's enough. It's already a Dover Sha'osimbo, a Dover HaMiyuchad L'Shem Mitzvah. That's enough to engender Huktzel Mitzvah. Like, I was wondering, I remember when I was in Canada, I bought someone a bar mitzvah boy. I bought him a shofar. Have you ever done that? It's a great gift, I'm telling you. Though maybe I shouldn't share the secret with you. Because, no, I'm telling you, this bar mitzvah boy, every time he sees me, he tells me how he learned how to blow shofar and everything in my school because I bought him a shofar. Today you can buy a shofar. It's not that expensive. Yeah. So I was thinking to myself, if I buy a shofar for someone for the sake of blowing it on Yontif, on Rosh Hashanah, does that make it Huktzel Mitzvah? You don't think so?
You just can't smell it? I mean, what?
No, I know this. Can I blow, you know, reverie and wake you up in the morning? You know, that is it Huktzel Mitzvah? Again, as long as he's practicing, you know, Chinuch, that's fine. That's not a mafkia of the Isur of Huktzel Mitzvah. But if he uses it for his own purposes, again, I don't know why you'd wake some old Yankee Doodle Dandy with a shofar, but let's say he did it, would it be a violation? That's American, sorry. That's probably British and we stole it from the British.
The shofar the kotel last night.
Good, so I don't know what they had in mind. You know, what goes on at the kotel, I'll tell you the truth, just by, I have a lot of trouble. I'm a big kotel fan, you know, and so on. And although now our kotel, I think, split or something, they had two yeshivas. But anyway, I'm a big fan of our kotel. But I don't know, they blow shofar, it's a little bit wild. I mean, here on Leil, what do you call it, Yom Yerushalayim, they started blowing shofar in the, you know, Rav Nachman Kahane's shul. Were you there? Anyway, I'm a little uncomfortable with that. You know, it's, you're right, David. I don't know exactly what they mean when they blow shofar, if it's this, that, or the other thing. Well, I told you the story about the pirates who told the Jew, you know, once you have the shofar, keep blowing it. You don't remember that story. Anyway, so that's what I don't know. Exactly what's the din of huktzel mitzvaso by a shofar. It could be, Rabosai, that a shofar is not really a cheftishol mitzvah.
Yeah, okay.
Because the kol is the cheftishol mitzvah, not the shofar. That's the Rambam says, that if you steal a shofar, you could be yotze, there's no psula mitzvah baba vera. Shofar shalol is a little more complicated because the mitzvah, the avera is the shofar and the kol and the cheftishol mitzvah is the kol itself. So I don't know. You really have to be a very deep, profound thinker to figure this all out. But assuming that there's a din of huktzel mitzvah in shofar, it means that shofar, even though it's not a cheftishol mitzvah, nevertheless it's designated for a mitzvah. You don't need a cheftishol mitzvah. You hear what I'm saying, Daniel?
Yeah,
and that's why it could be a hadas even without aga, then it's not a cheftishol mitzvah. Nevertheless, it's still huktzel mitzvah because it's designated for the mitzvah. Okay. Now I have another question for you. Oh yeah, so that question we asked already. Yeah. Good. Okay. So that's what I wanted to add to yesterday's to the last discussion that we had. All right, well, so let's see the Gemara at the bottom of Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, O Shahayu Anovav Merubin Amar Avchizda Dover Zerabinu Agodol Amro Vamokum Yevu Ezra Lo Shanu El Mokum Echad Al Vishnayim O Shlosha Mekomos Kosher. And one thing is clear from this Gemara. If the berries are spread out throughout the Hadas and it's kosher, what conclusion do you derive from this Gemara? What kind of psul are we dealing with? It's got to be a psul hadar. If it was a psul min, it wouldn't make any difference where the anovim are. I mean, if we're saying anovim and rubim is a psul min, it's not Hadas. But the truth is, Rabosai, you should have laughed at me. Because of, well, it's a dover poshet that merubim anovim merubim is not a psul min. How do I know it's not a psul min? It says you can take off the anovim. So I don't have to drain mit a finger over here, you know, because the shnayim shlosh mekomos or bonka mechad. You see, it's not a psul min. I mean, it's true. You see, it's not a psul min. But you don't see it from here. I mean, you don't have to wait till here. You could already see it in the Mishnah. I mean, you can't take a min that's not a min hadas and convert it into a min hadas. I think that's ludicrous. The teretz is that psul hadar. So if you move the deficiency, and you can replace its beauty, and therefore there's no, you can remove the psul hadar. Amalei Rava. Rava doesn't like this. Why doesn't Rava like this? Okay, wait a minute. Before we turn the page, I just want to show you something that I found here in a footnote in Masifta. He quotes a sefer which I'm not familiar with called Likutei Chaver Ben Chaim. Does anybody know what that is? I don't know what it is. Anyway, he says that what was the hava mean of this Gemara? Meaning, what was Rav Chisda thinking when he transmitted this halacha in that particular presentation in the name of Rabbeinu Agol? He says, Yesh Lomar, what was the Havamina? She'im yesh bo peros v'mokom echad, yesh lifsol mishum shavi eitz pri v'lo eitz avos. What he's saying is the following, that eitz avos means that it's the leaves that cover the wood or the stem, and that defines hadas. If you have additional anovim that is spread out throughout, that doesn't undermine the facts that it's still avos. Once you have a major concentration of anovim in one place, he calls it three, I don't know why he says two or three, but okay, certainly three, he says that becomes eitz pri. Meaning, the eitz is not covered by avos, by anothim, but rather it's covered by peros. Rabosai, what does that sound like to you? If you accept this approach. It's a different min. I don't get it. I honestly don't get it. He doesn't embellish it in any way. But I mean, is he saying, therefore, that you pluck off the berries and now you convert something that's eitz pri into eitz avos? That's a peloton. All right, I'm just saying it in passing. I hope you don't mind that I'm sharing with you, all my confusions. Amalei Rava, Shnayim u'shlosha mekomos havi menumar u'pasol. Here Rashi's outspoken. He says the lav hadar. Obviously, the psul is hadar. Now, it's a little bit odd that Rashi waited until Rava, in Rav Chizdi, didn't mention the Psul Hadar. I mean, according to this Ben Chaver, I understand that we're talking about a Psul Min, And the Gemara thinks that there are two halachas here. There's a psul min if they're all concentrated in one spot. It's called eitz pri and not eitz avos. And there's another halacha of psul hadar in a case where it's spread out throughout the hadas. Again, I'm still left my question before. I mean, in the case where it's all concentrated in one area, why is it that you can be located, you can be malakate and remove the adnof? But Rabosa, I think the safe of this Rashi is really the bombshell. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Shaharei ha'anovim shchoros v'ha'olim yerukim. Rashi says that the psul of anovim is because of the contrast in color between the olim and the anovim. That's what engenders the psul menumar. In other words, in theory, if you had green berries and you had a massive amount of green berries on that hadas, it would still be kosher.
The Gemara later on defines that as mini hadas when they're all green.
That's coming right up.
Yeah, right now.
Sounding fine.
Okay, so wait. Give me just 1 second. That's just why I'm going to catch up to you in a second. Okay. So the Gemara says, Eli Yitmar Hachi Yitmar Oshaya Novi Merubi Me Olav Pasul Omar Av Chizda Dovar Zer Rabbeinu Adol Omro Vamokim Yeboz Loshna Ela Anovav Shchoros Aval Anovav Yerokos Mine Da Hadasu Vekosh. So it means that the Anovim, as long as they're green, are part of the Hadas. Well, that doesn't have anything to do with that previous discussion about the Sulbin, is it?
What?
It is? No, I just want to know.
No, I don't know.
In one place.
Well, I don't know if you want to say such a thing. I don't think that all of a sudden the change of colors changes the min. Rashi says explicitly it's a psul hadar on top. But I think what the Gemara is trying to point out is that as long as the anovim are green, we don't see them in any way as some sort of foreign alien element that should upset the hadar. The hadar, I mean, that's exactly what hadas looks like.
It's meaning the hadas, it's green, it's not green, it's not meaning the hadas.
The third Rashi.
Okay, I don't know, you're all yelling and screaming at me. I must have missed something here, which is okay, you know. Ella, you don't mind if I first do the second Rashi, just to go and kiss it. Ella, sha'novim, shchorts, shekvar hischilu liyabesh. Okay, please note this Rashi. Rashi seems to identify, to some extent, the psul of anovim as a psul of what?
Yavish.
Of yavish. That's interesting. Umashchir. You see, Rashi's a little bit bothered here, I think, because if we're going to establish that the anovim are really by nature, you know, it's in the very nature of the bria, are part and parcel of hadas. So Vosefus, when they change colors, all of a sudden they become a foreign element. What are we prejudiced here because of the colors? This is, you know, all men are created equal here, right? So the answer is, says Rashi, it's an indication, it's a Gili Milsa that it's Yavish. Okay, we'll come back to this in a minute. He says, Umitchilasam Yerokin Haim. Originally they were green. Mini da dasninu, as long as they're green. Shamar Aim Shavalo vi eno nira kivinumar. Adarab, I think this supports me. I don't know, you probably think it supports you. But let me tell you why I think it supports me. Because I think what Rashi is bothered by here is, if we're talking about min or not min, so what difference does it make if it looks like the hadas, or it doesn't look like the hadas? If it's not a min hadas, then you've got yourself a problem. The answer is, we never had a avmina that it wasn't a min hadas. Rashi's only telling you that there's a halacha called menuar. And once it reaches the state of maneuver, it's no longer hadar. What do you say, Avi? Oh, okay.
I'm okay with that.
You're okay. All right. Here's where it gets complicated. Amar Av Papa, Adumos Kishchoros Damyan. Once they turn red, they have the status of black. And I'll prove it to you, he says. Ti Amar Av Chanina, Hai Dam Shachar. Adam who? Ela Shaloka. Where is that?
Nida.
Whoa. This is something off the charts. We're going to prove in the context of Rav Papa, that if the Anovim are already read, then the Hadas is possible. And you know why they're possible? Not because of Menumar or anything. Menumar has got to be black, I guess. But because in Hilchas Dam Nida, when we see something that's red, I'm sorry, that's black, it's really red. In other words, black and red are interchangeable. From Nida, you're going to prove something about Hadas? Very strange, no? I think the answer lies in that one word of Rashi, Liyamish. What Rav Chanina will help us, how does Rav Papa use Rav Chanina? Because he holds that, why is blood black? What does it mean, shaloka? What happens to red blood?
It was originally red,
and then what happens? It dries up. When it dries up, it becomes black. So Rashi is saying that what Rav Papa wants to say is that these two colors indicate various stages in the drying up of, in this case, the Anovim, or in the case of the Dam Nida. And when you see something that's red, basically what you're saying is it's going to come black when it dries up, but it's already in the process of drying up. In other words, what Rashi is saying is that the psul of Menumar is initiated once the Anovim already begin to dry up, once the drying process has begun, and that's going to be reflected in the change of color. Where do we see that the change of color reflects the drying process? We see it in Dam Nida. If we apply it here, we're going to say that even though it hasn't yet turned black, it's already begun to get dry enough that there's a change in color. Okay, fine. The next Gemara we learned already. Let's do a quick chazor on it. In miatan kosher, the miatan emas. When did he take off the berries? Ilema mekami dili ade. No, the Mishnah doesn't have to tell me that. It wasn't even a cheftishal mitzvah, and if there's no shakas of dichui, so that he's just preparing the cheftah for the mitzvah and it become a mitzvah. It's pshita. Ela lebasa di ade after agad. No, and yet, even though it was possible because it had rov minim and it was rov anovim and it was an agad, yet it became kosher when he takes out the berries. Is let's prove from this that dichumei karahu. So should we be poshet the original question of Rabbi Yirmiyah from our mission itself? That would be a little bit odd. The Rabbi Yirmiyah had a question, and the answer to the question lies in the Mishnah itself. Miatan Kosher itself means that ain't dikhui etzel mitzvahs. Safti Gemara, tifshem minei dikhui meikara lo havi dikhui. Yeah, you know what? You can derive from this the following conclusion. That's not going to grant you Rabbi Yirmiyah's, an answer to Rabbi Yirmiyah's question, namely that dikhui meikara lo havi dichui. And why lo havi dichui? Because dichui is only shaykh when it was ro'ui, when it was chazi. It was chazi, and then it was dichui. You can't recreate the state of chazi. So that's an act of dichui. But if it was possible from the beginning, that's not enough to establish dichui. So if you take a look at Tosfos, Dibra Maskil, Tifsho Minei, Dichui Me'ekar Lavi Dichui, Linyan Mitzvah, Stafka, get it precious, Liel, Ubayi, Diniktam Nami, Ubaya, Diniktam Nami, Lo Ifshite, get it precious, Nami, Liel. So now the original suffix of Rav Yirmiyah in the case of Niktam is not answered up, even though there too it's a case of Dichui Me'ekar, and Tosfos will soon see is Mechalik between the two sugyas. And we'll get to that in Mirtz Shem in a few minutes. Finishing up the Gemara says, Li Olam Basar Di Agde. And even though it's Basar Di Agde, nevertheless, it's not called Dichui Meikara. Why? Ukasavar Eged Hazmana Bi Almahu Vazmana Bi Alma Lav Klum. So l'chora, this sugya is reflecting the sheet of Chachamim, who are ruled of Ein Tzarech Eged. And the question is, And the Gemara vacillates about this from the Havmin to Maskana. What is Eged according to the Chachamim? Initially, the Gemara thought that according to Chachamim, Eged engenders the Chalashem mitzvah. And therefore, if you memayit the Anovim Lebosar the Agde, then it was a case of dichui, because with Agdei, the Chal Shem Chefshel Mitzvah is Chal. And again, we're talking about a case of Miyatan B'Yontif, so according to Chacham, you have both conditions, Eged and Yontif. And therefore, it would be a case of dichui. The Gemara says, no, there's no dichui over here. There's no dichui. Why is there no dichui? Because even though he did the Eged on Erev Yontif, and it was in a state of what? Of Anova of Merubin. Nevertheless, that's not called Dichui because there's no Chalos Chafetz Shel Mitzvah. Eged is only Hazmona B'Alma. I don't know. Does anybody know if this Gemara could be squared with Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Luv Tzarch Eged? I don't know. It would seem to me that this whole Sugi from A to Z, from Soup to Nuts, is talking about Rabbana. That's what it seems to me. And the Gemara is vacillating here back and forth whether or not the halacha of dichui could be chal with Eged, again, Eged plus Kiddush Hayom, or do we view Eged as just simply Hazmona Milsa and Hazmona Lav Klum? Now, this has to be analyzed very carefully.
And Lav Klum is a far cry from Kizakeli
Vanaveyu and necessary Kachal. Right. Yeah. This Gemara would not support our approach, but again, the Gemara is only saying it Bitoras, you know, to defend and protect us against drawing a conclusion which is very tenuous, namely whether Dichui Meikara, law of Dichui, is really proven or not. But there certainly seems to be a major thrust here to say that Dichui Meikara, law of Dichui, and that's what bothers Tosfos here, back on Amud Aleph, Dibur Maskil Niktam, Mi Erev Yontif. I have a question for you, Rav Osami. When Rashi says here on the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, the Elo Tzarech Aga, the second of the wide lines, Rashi says the Ilav the Kiddush Hayom Akati Lochal Leizman Mitzvah V'lo Shem Mitzvah L'Mikri Dichu. So Rashi used the term Kiddush Hayom, and since we're all very oriented in Mukta by sheer association, what moment in time do you associate with Kiddush Hayom? Beinashmash. It's correct. So I have a question here. I don't understand how Chalalei Shem's Lulav can be Chal Bein HaShmoshes Mishakidish Hayom. When is the earliest time you can take the Lulav?
The next morning.
So what's the night? I don't get it. Are you bothered by this question? Again, I'm not sure that's what Rashi means, but Mishakidish Hayom, it's a very long stretch to push into Rashi that Mishakin Shayom is referring to Alosa Shaka the next morning. That's far from Shuta Shel Dvarim in Rashi. But what Shaykhus does Leil Sukkahs have with Lulav? You know, I'm called a Kavod. You want to sit in the Sukkah and make Kiddush? I'll let you make Shachiyoto on the Sukkah. Everything's wonderful. But what's the time with Lulav? What Shaykhus does it have to the Lulav? So I think you see something very radical here. That when does the mitzvah of Lulav begin? At night. Again, you can't take the lulav at night, but the mitzvah itself begins at night. The Kedushas Hayom of Sukkot is identical for 24 hours. The Kedushas Hayom engenders the mitzvah of lulav, and it's a continuum, an equilibrium from the beginning of Yontif till the end of Yontif. You can't say that all of a sudden, Boker Tov, I wake up, and the Kedushas Hayom engenders the mitzvah of lulav, but last night there was no mitzvah of lulav.
I'll give you probably a load of rubbish here. But it's only mitzvah of VBA. When Yotam comes in, the little is mukzah. He's going to be mukzah the chatzier from a minute shmashi. He gets stuck up in. It must be the chatzier mitzvah already.
Right. But I wonder if you could really say the Kedush Sayom. Like, I'll tell you something that always bothered my mind. And maybe I'll be laughing. On Mairiv, on Leil Rosh Hashanah, in the Ma'ariv, again, unless it's on Shabbos, we say Yom Truah. That's how we define the day. What do you mean Yom Truah? Wait till the morning to say Yom Truah. It's not Yom Truah at night. But the answer is that the Kedushas Hayom is one and the same. It's unified from beginning to end. You can't take a knife and split the Kedushas Hayom and Boker Tov, all of a sudden became Yom Trua. Yom Trua means the whole day is a Yom Trua. It doesn't mean the Boker is a Yom Trua. And therefore, if you have a lulav that's nidche, if you hold yesh dichu yetzal mitzvahs at night, then that dichu is chal for the entire day, because mishakidish hayom is chal of shame lulav shel mitzvah, even though it's night and you can't be mekayim the mitzvah. See, in matzah, I have no problem with this, because the Gaon says that there's a mitzvah of matzah the entire 7 days. So I can describe in the tefillos as chag ha-matzah hazeh for all the 7 days, and certainly at night, you know, with the initiating, with the incoming of the first night of Tesvav, I can call it chag ha-matzah because the mitzvah is bare of tochlu matzah. But if you're in the mood for something that's a lot of fun, but it's a little bit off the daf. To what time is it? I'm totally oblivious to the time here.
22.
Okay, I'll give you a look. I want to share with you something I saw in Rav Gusman's Sefer. It's called Kudshei Shiur. Mind-boggling Chiddush. What happens on Leil Shmini Atzeres? We're in Eretz Yisrael. So 7 days of Sukkot have passed. The sun is still not yet setting in the west. We're about to enter into Shmini Atzeres, and I'm a Kabbalah myself till Sefer Yontif. Correct? So Shmini Atzeres. Now I get hungry. Where do I eat my meal? Why? Because again, it's before nightfall. The Kedush Sayom is that of Shmini Atzeres, because I was a Kabbalah myself till Sefer Yontif, and Allah gives me every right to do so. If I were to daven now, and this is exactly what I would do, I would recite as Yom Shmini Chag Atzeres Hashem, because I was mekabel myself to Sefer Yom. Where do I eat my meal? So the Marshal says, yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's related to something we discussed once.
Yeah.
For example, Muksa, if you mekabel Shabbos early,
yeah,
and you lit the light, and then the lights go out, is in there Muksa or not? Is even mekabel Shabbos early, but it's not really, it's still before Shkia. Is it related?
You mean because there's no keem of Onik Shabbos, so,
there's a reality of Shabbos in Zman. There's a difference between Tosfos Shabbat, Tosfos Yom Tov.
Right. In any event, I mean, that requires analysis. But I wanted to share with you the Marshal. The Marshal says you'd have to eat in the Sukkah. And therefore, says the Marshal, you should fast until nightfall. Why? Because he doesn't want you eating in the Sukkah. You know why he doesn't want you eating the Sukkah? Because you have issues. Either it's, again, I'm not sure if it's technically Baltosif, but whatever it is, yeah, you could make all the conditions of the world, but the Gemara calls that a slap in the face to Shmini Atzeres. The Gemara uses the term Tarti the Sasri. You can't tell me you're praving Shmini Atzeres, the Kedusha Shmini Atzeres, and at the same time you're sitting in Sukkah. Again, you can make all the conditions in the world, and maybe it would obviate Baltosif, but the Gemara calls it a Tarti Sasri. Zok the Marshal, you better not do such a thing. So the Taz, it's the longest Taz I've ever seen, spends an entire page rejecting this Marshal. And those who came afterwards were very upset at the Taz, because there's a principle called Ein Meshivin Es Ha'ari El B'chayev, you know, because Marshal was already gone, and it wasn't really fair, because he didn't give the Marshal a chance to defend himself. Well, one of the various arguments, a very exciting sugya, that the Taz raises against the Marshal, he says, Heichon Matzinu Shegazru Chachomim Tainis B'yontif. There should be some sugya in Shas that tells me that you have to fast on Yontif, because you have a Kavotel Sefes Shmini Atzeres. But be that as it may, the Taz goes into a long discussion, and he says that once you mekabel on yourself Kedushas Hayom, it's no longer Sukkos, and you can go into your house, have fun, enjoy yourself, and eat your soup. But the Marshal says, no, you got to eat in the soup. Says Rav Gusman, a beautiful word. He says, if you ask me what the Kedushas Hayom is at that moment, it's Shmini Atzeres. He was mekabel on himself Kedushas Hayom. Nevertheless, he has to eat in Sukkah. Why? Because Shivas Yomim Teshuv B'Sukkos. For 7 days, the Torah commands you to eat in Sukkah. The fact that you were makabel on yourself Tosefes Yontif doesn't alter the fact that it's the seventh day of Sukkot. You have to count 7 full days. And therefore the Torah says you have to sit in the Sukkah for 7 full days.
So why is the kibul of Yontif Chavah?
Because there are two dinim, says Rav Gusman. There's one din of counting days. There's another din of Kiddush Sayom. And they're independent one of the other. You can have the Kiddush Sayom and Shmini Atzeres, even though it's still the seventh day of Sukkot. That's the, you know, again, there's no, trust me, Rav Osai, there's no legal system in the world that has this. You know, this is the geschmack of teir. Your mamish can taste it. It's so tasty, you know.
With the bracha?
This you should not be learning on Tisha B'Av. Maybe it's after Chatzos already, I gotta be nervous here.
Just
to add on the butt. This is not the kind of pilpul you should be doing on Tisha B'Av, it's certainly not, and probably not even on Erev Tisha B'Av. But again, why do I mention this, Rav Gusman, to you? Because the thought occurs to me that maybe with regard to the status of Lulav at night, we could say the following. Or shofar at night, right? How can we call, I asked the question, how can we daven on Leil Rosh Hashanah and say and declare Yom Teruah? What do you mean Yom Teruah? The answer is the following. The Torah gave zmanim for the mitzvah, but as far as the Kedushas Hayom is concerned, there's no difference between Laila and Yom. It's just like Rav Gusman postulates that you could have something, a time period, a slot of time that has the Kedushas Hayom of Shmini Atzeres, yet it's still in terms of zmanim, in pure zmanim, it belongs to the 7 days of Sukkot. You can't alter that fact. That's inalterable. And therefore you have to eat in Sukkot. The Torah says that you don't need the Kedush Sayom in order to eat. So I'm just saying, once you have that chiluk between Kedush Sayom and zman, I would say the following. That the zman for lulav is with daybreak. But the Kedush Sayom that engenders the mitzvah of lulav is at night.
It's almost as if there are three dimensions in looking at this.
Whoa, three dimensions? Yeah. That's really cool.
There's the Gavra, the Kedush affects the Gavra. It can be the Chetzer, like the Lulav. And there's the dimension of Znan, and the Kedush Man, how as a separate entity.
Could be. I just want to add something to what Daniel told me yesterday. Daniel was asking me yesterday in terms of Lulav Tzarich Eged, whether it's a Maisa HaGavra or it's just to create the Chet Shal Mitzvah. So I was wondering, remember before we were discussing, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who Lulav Tzarich Eged, at what moment does it become a Chet Shal Lulav? Can I on Tu Bishvat do the Agad? So I suggested that maybe there would be a difference between the whole year round and 30 days before the Chag. So I want to suggest the following, based on what you asked me yesterday. I would never have come up with this on my own, Daniel, so I owe you all the credit. That it could be that there are Tzvei Dinim here. The Chefza Shaluav could be engendered by Eged at any time during the year, if I have the proper Kavan, if I designate it for that mitzvah. But that would only be in the Chefza Shaluav. As far as the Gavra, implementing a Maisa Eged, insofar as there's a Kiyum of Gavra of Maisa Eged, that requires Shloshim Yom Kohen Ulecha, or Erev Yontif, whatever it is. Meaning this requirement of Samach Yontif would be in the Maisa Gavra, in order to obtain that Kiyum Gavra of Eged. As far as creating the Chefta Shalulav, as long as the Eged changes the Chefta Shalulav, and I have Kavana, so that relates it to the Chefta Shalulav, I didn't just tie it together, Stam, that would be enough even on Tu Bishvat.
And question of Dichu is in the Chefta.
And then we would say that Dichu is in the Chefta. Dichu is in the Chefta. Alright, if there's so much here, it's just endless.
Maybe Atzeres and the Golan would be a right through, but still even the Sukkah.
Why do they do that? Because they need this.
So if the Yom is in January, the Chag is in January, you have to eat the Sukkah. Even though you're calling it Shmini Atzeres, they're still Chayav to eat the Sukkah in the Golan.
Did you say Golan or Golah?
Golah.
Oh, okay. At first I thought you said Golan, and I was racking my brain. I was roping in the steers, you know, trying to think, no, you're not talking about Golan. You're talking about in the, you know, you have to change Shalgolios.
Yes.
So you have to change Shalgolios. else, and then you have the issue of the Tarsus Sas Kedusha. Right, and then you're going to sit in Sukkah and yet Shri Yatzeres. Right, that's the Sukkah. Yeah, I don't know if we'll get to it this month. Okay, so Rav Osai, you let me know, you know, if you.